Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Council members, if you'll take your place. Thank you very much. We do have a quorum, and we'd like to call this City Council Briefing Committee meeting. It is 9:06. The first order of business is invocation, and the Honorable Council Member Bonsall Jones-Hill will be doing our invocation. Ms. Hill. If you'll please stand.
God of ages past, God of this moment, God of the future, we pause now before your glory and your awesomeness. We pause, God, because you are the creator and we are the creatures. And as such, God, we pause to give you praise, glory, and thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be in this place one more time. We recognize, God, that it is only by your grace and your mercy that we are able to gather here yet again to carry on the business of our beloved city. God, as we go about our business this day, I ask that you allow your spirit to move among us. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us strength. But God, I go further in asking that you touch every person under the sound of my voice, whether in this room or elsewhere, where each of us may be weakest. Touch us, Lord. Heal us where we need healing. Guide us where we need guiding. Strengthen us where we need strengthening. Further, God, I ask your blessings upon the families of the four Houston firefighters who will be laid to rest today. And finally, God, I ask your grace and your mercy upon the family who has lost a beloved mother. I pray for her transition from this side to eternity, but I also pray for that family. Thank you for allowing us to come once more into your awesome presence. This is our prayer, and those who would agree said, amen.
Ms. Margolin, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Hill, thank you very much. This is a little strange for me here. I'm going to call on myself, recognize myself, to do a special presentation for Children's Medical Center, celebrating 100 years. Huh? Let's applaud. Yeah. We definitely want to congratulate them. It was in April of 1913 by a group of visionary and courageous nurses led by May Forster Smith. These nurses erected four donated tents to found the Baby Camp, which was located at Oaklawn and Maple, the first in the Southwest. The camp was formed when infectious disease was killing area children at an alarming rate of up to 15 each day. Treated as little adults, the specialty of pediatrics had yet to be formed. 100 years later, the Baby Camp has become the fifth largest pediatric healthcare provider in the country, with a team of more than 6,000 physicians, nurses, employees, and volunteers. Today, Children's receives nearly 700,000 patients visits annually at its two full-service hospital campuses in Dallas and in Plano. Multiple specialty clinics and 15 My Children's locations that provide primary care to children across the Metroplex. Over the 100 years, Children's has impacted millions, 5 million children to be exact. From its humble start in four tents, Children's annually serves 200,000 unique children and their families. So we want to say happy birthday to Children's, and I'm going to go up and read a proclamation, and I'd like for the following to join me. I'd like for, of course, Martha Rocha, our community outreach person, Fred Guerra, Matt Moore, Cheryl Mayo Williams, Carrie Kaiser, Regina Montoya, Dr. Ken Wimmelthal, Michelle Chulik, Peter Roberts, Doug Hawk, and, of course, Rich Dutrovich. Thank you. If you'll join me. And I thank all of us in City Council. Children's has impacted all of our districts. Chris, if you'll, and Fred, join us. No, they're not. They're always out in the community. Okay, the proclamation reads, whereas the Dallas City Council takes special notice and acknowledges the exceptional service Children's Medical Center has provided for more than 100 years to our most vulnerable citizens, and whereas on April the 6th, 1913, there were on an average of 15 babies dying a day of dehydration that was caused by malnutrition, the open-air clinic of Baby Camp created to treat these sick children later became one of the world's most renowned children's medical centers. And whereas Children's Medical Center serves all children, regardless of their family's ability to pay, and does so without tax support from the city or the county, providing $140 million in community benefits in 2011. And whereas Children's Medical Center includes two main campuses in Dallas and in Plano and several multiple specialty clinics, Children's Medical Center has a network of My Children's Pediatric Primary Care Services located in underserved neighborhoods, which last year provided medical homes for almost 100,000 children. And whereas Children's Medical Center annually produces a report titled Beyond ABC, providing 60 data elements on the health and wellness of children in Dallas County, as well as several northern neighboring counties. Children's Medical Center has an annual impact of more than $1.6 billion on the regional economy, employing 5,600 people and a medical and dental staff of more than 1,000. And whereas Children's Medical Center is the fifth largest pediatric health care provider in the nation and is ranked among the top children's hospitals in the country by U.S. News and World Report in all 10 specialties. Whereas Children's Medical Center is a leader in research, having co-founded the Children's Medical Center Research Institute at UT Southwestern with its research partner, the University of Texas at Southwestern Medical Center, to enable transformational pediatric research. Now, therefore, I, Mike Rollins, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, hereby extend special recognition on the 5th day of June, 2013, to the Children's Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, and extend congratulations on their 100th centennial celebration. Congratulations. Chris, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. It's a privilege for us to be located into your district. And likewise to the members of the City Council, we thank you so very much for this recognition of these ladies and gentlemen who stand here with me and the 6,000 physicians, dentists, and employees of Children's Medical Center who serve more than 200,000 children each year and touch their lives more than 700,000 times. As you heard in the proclamation, we have the distinct privilege of not only educating the next generation of healthcare leadership and producing the science that pushes back the frontier of what we know and reduces the distance between what we know and what we do, but we have a sacred trust that patients and families place in us each day for their healthcare. Whether it's through one of our 15 My Children's locations, many of which are located in your respective districts, where we have the opportunity to provide preventive care to children and families where they're in their community, where it's most effective and most economical to do so, or at our Level 1 Trauma Center, or at our Legacy Campus, or our Southlake Campus, all of these children are at the center of what we do. What you can expect of us, as you have expected over the first 100 years, is that over the next 100 years, not only will we deploy these skills and abilities with each child that we serve, but we will treat each child that comes to us as if they were our own. You have our pledge. You have our confidence. We are so honored to be recognized this way and to have this opportunity to celebrate with you 100 years of an extraordinary institution that did begin in four borrowed canvas tents on the front lawn of what today is the old Parkland campus. There's a sculpture on that campus that I invite you to visit, and soon there will be an historical marker on that campus as well, celebrating this enterprising and courageous group of nurses led by Mae Forster Smith, who wrote on a blackboard, the media of her day, "One day, we will be a great children's hospital." And every day, a physician would come by and erase it. This is a true story. And every day, she would write it. And about 15 years later, the physician wrote Mae Forster Smith a note. It was two words: "You win." Thank you again, and thank you for your service to our community.
Thank you.
Carly, before you, we have some colleagues want to say something. First one is Carolyn Davis.
To the president of Children's Medical Center, I want to thank Children's Medical Center for being in District 7. You guys are over at St. Philip, and then you will be also moving on Spring Avenue and Hatcher. And we're working, well, not me, the organization is working on the facility now for Children's Medical Center. I think it is needed. I think the children's outpatient care is needed. If we can stop it there in the community, then I think we would deal with a lot of the problems before it go directly to Children's Medical Center. It is such a need for infants and small children, especially in urban neighborhoods, to have that urgent care. And I really, really do appreciate you guys for stepping outside of the box, thinking outside of the box, and being creativity that it brings to make something like this work for urban neighborhoods. And so I hope that it be a great success for you. I hope the community will appreciate what is coming to that neighborhood. So I thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Let me just say, one, set the record very clear that I was born at Parkland Hospital, but I was born at the one on Maple.
District 2.
I don't know what district it was when I was born. But it just gives me great pleasure, and I heard you saying thank you to us for all that we do. But I want to reverse that, to go back to say thank you all for all that you all do. My cousin, Dr. Jackie Longshaw, worked as a pediatrician at Children's. It has been just a tremendous experience to know that our children, that for our children, there's a place that they can go to and feel wanted and be loved and to be treated correctly. And you guys have just set the tone. I like going down Stemmons when I see I think it's the blue trim on the building. Now, we got the green building, we got the Omni, we got the Hyatt, but we also have Children's. And you all have set the tone with that. I want you to know that we can find it, we appreciate it, and every citizen here and every child in this city will continue to support children and for all that you all do. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Hassan.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem. Chris and group, Regina, Martha, Fred, thank you so much for the opening of the satellite office on Illinois. It was a pleasure being there with you as you opened that. I know the need is great. You know, as soon as you opened that, I was asking for another one in North Oak Cliff. So, you know, we've got a lot of folks that hopefully this will deter them from using the emergency room as their clinic. And so, again, I want to thank all of you guys for all the work that you do and for reaching out to especially the Hispanic community, which is a community that needs a lot of good information and awareness. So thank you very much.
Ms. Hill?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. To Children's, thanks to each and every one of you and all of the folks at Children that you stand here representing. You touched my life and the life of my family personally when you cared for my niece several years ago. My niece has passed on to glory, but during her last days, Children's cared not only for her illness, but for the grief that the family was experiencing at the time, for that I am eternally grateful. In addition to that, the Dallas Civil Courts regularly appoints me as guardian ad litem. And I have the chance to enter the lives of children who have been hurt in car accidents and various other situations. Many, many of those children are taken first to Children's. And Children's cares for each of those children and each of those families in the very same exceptional and compassionate way that you took care of my family. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
We're going to take a photo, and if all the council members would join us. And we have our photographer, Bernice Espinosa, that will take care. If we will step just forward about 6-7 steps, and the council members will join us. Thank you. Yeah, well, all of y'all are tall. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your leadership.
Don't worry, we'll get together.
Thank you.
Okay. Rosa, hold on just a minute. I would like to recognize OG.
Yeah. J.O.J.
J.O.J.
Right.
And Mr. Atkins.
Well, you know, Mr. Caraway, you know, when he was mayor of the city of Dallas, he had a trip to Nigeria, and here some people came in to visit, and Von Seal and myself, we always take care of Africa, and so since he brought some guests here, we will give you a special recognition this morning. So you want to tell who your guests are?
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable council members. My name is Jay Oji. I've been living and working in the city of Dallas for the past 30 years. It's not very often that you have some royalty visiting you from Africa. And because I've been in this city for so many years, I really wanted the city of Dallas to have an opportunity to meet people that we revere where I come from. Again, thank you so much, Mr. Atkins. I have the privilege and honor to call to the podium His Royal Majesty Kanu Nwakanu Ezebomisi of the Arochukwu Kingdom to please come to the podium. Also accompanying him is His Royal Majesty Maazi Okorafor, the Eze Ibom, Eze Ezeagu of Arochukwu Kingdom. Please come to the podium. Thank you. I would like to just recognize our local chapter president of Nzukọ Umuaro in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. His name is Emmanuel Okoronkwo Okorompi. Please come on. And finally, of course, our ex-president, Dr. Miki Okonha, who also come to the podium, please. Finally, our own brother who works for the city of Dallas, Chris Onyado, he's in the accounting and audit department, come to the table. And of course, finally, my beautiful and adorable wife, Ngozi, please come and join us together here. Thank you. Thank you. Over to you, please.
And with this, it's going to be very short, so we're going to bring Von Seal up, Pearl, and Carolyn Daly, and Mr. Caraway. And we're just going to get a good opportunity for y'all to come and visit our city of Dallas and show y'all hospitality.
Good morning. There are an awful lot of whereases with big words in this special recognition. And so let me paraphrase. Whereas, I'm mighty glad you're in the city of Dallas. I welcome you. I am peacock proud, baboon beside myself, and hyena happy to have you in my city. I was in your country not long ago. I look forward to being there again. Others are going to say all these whereases, but I've said mine.
There you go.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Your Excellencies, let me just say that I visited Nigeria. I was in Abuja, and I'm going back to Abuja. It is my dream and my wish that we're going to travel back to the country, but we're going to take 6 students with us to Nigeria so that we can have that cultural experience and exchange. We've been on with the embassy as late as this morning trying to work out the visas. The government of Nigeria are working now so that we can bring back 6 Nigerian children so that they can experience the American culture. It was the greatest trip and experience of my life when I went and visited Nigeria. It is an experience that I would share with each and every one of you and encourage you all. Whatever you do, make sure you go over into the lands of Africa. But let's continue to keep our arms open here in America for the African experience. You're welcome. I can't wait to get back on a plane and go back over. I hate to fly. It is known, Your Excellency, that I do not fly. But I took that opportunity to come to Nigeria. It was the greatest experience of my life. J.O.G., we want to thank you for the accommodations. We want to welcome and make sure that you all know you are welcome here. And we are going to roll out the red carpet and to show our continued appreciation for you and your visit here in our great city of Dallas, Texas.
I want to say that I am extremely delighted that you're here in the city of Dallas, and I would like to say the black is for the Africa, the red is for the blood in which we shed, the green is for the richness of the land, and the yellow is for the gold. And that is what Africa brings, and I hope that as people, especially African American, we understand that the black is for the blood, the black is for the color, the red is for the blood in which we shed as being Africans in this world. And so I am proud to be who I am, and I will walk proud to be who I am, and I'm not ashamed of who I am. And I want to thank the motherland for being the birth of who I am. Thank you so much.
Colleagues, will y'all come up and take a picture, please?
Madam Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We continue now with your morning speakers. Your morning speakers consist of Teresa Johnson, Robert Stubblefield, Casey Thomas, Sandra Crenshaw, and Stella Health. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council during the session of the City Council, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during the session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on both walls. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Medrano. Again, your first speaker is Teresa Johnson. You may begin.
Yes, my name is Teresa Johnson. My address is 125 South Myrtle Lane, apartment 711, Dallas, Texas, 75217. I am basically here because of a slumlord in a big corporation who feels as though they can do what they want to do without complying. All day, every day, we're held accountable to certain codes, standards of compliance through our jobs, our schools, our colleagues. And I was hospitalized for 5 days due to ulcers around my kidney forming, which wasn't caused by soda, I'm told. Considering the fact that I was on a health trip and drinking nothing but water from my complex, I asked that it be tested by the city of Dallas and by the Sphinx Corporation, which I was promised it would be. It has not been done. I have mold. There are pictures there that I wanted to show you guys. Pictures of mold in my closet, mold on my shoes, clothes, everything. It's disgusting. Nothing has been done. My apartment complex has lights out all around the perimeter. The fencing is connected to Woodland City, which I am awaiting the crime stats for those demographics as well as for the demographics of Woodland City as well as Myrtle Villa. I just feel as though this apartment should be condemned because the safety and maintenance, there are lights out, like I said, constant unprofessionalism, pest infestations, discrimination to tenants on property. I've had a handicapped lady denied the right to use her hover-around vehicle on property, denied the right to have a live-in aid, which is required for her health. Why are they being bullies, and why are they not being held accountable? When all day, every day, we are all held accountable. We must comply. Why are they not being placed in a position to comply? The living arrangements, the conditions of the property, the maintenance is not being taken care of. Who's going to uphold? Who's going to make them do this? They're receiving funds from the state. They're receiving funds from the city. Why mustn't they comply? We have to do certain things. Why mustn't they? What makes Sphinx Corporation, Walter Singletary of Myrtle Villas, any bigger or any better that they don't have to hold these standards? I would appreciate it if someone could contact me on these matters as soon as possible. My address is can'tstopmyblessings@yahoo.com. The name again is Teresa Johnson. And I appreciate your time.
Ms. Johnson, we are going to have Joey. Ms. Johnson, we're going to have Joey Zapata, the Assistant City Manager for Code, to speak with you. But Mr. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins, your council member, wishes to be recognized.
Right. You know, this person I've seen this level, I'm glad you brought it to our attention, but it's unacceptable that for anyone to stay in these type of conditions. So we're going to have Joy. We're going to inspect those units and find out exactly what's going on. I wish you brought this to my concern early. So please get with Joy. Joy, this is Joy Sapatra right there.
I appreciate it.
And please follow back up with me.
Yes, sir.
In my office so I know what's going on.
Yes, sir.
And they have passed inspection? Department did pass inspection? Okay, but we still need to follow up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zapata.
No, actually, that apartment failed inspection 5 times before I moved in. I was actually called and informed that that apartment had passed inspection, and I confirmed with the Sphinx Corporation because I had been lied to so many times from management during my time
Ms. Johnson,
of moving in.
Mr. Zapata is over here to the right. If you will move over to the right, and he will address your concerns.
Okay, okay.
Right, and again, you know, you have my office number, 214-670-4066, and just follow back with me once talk to Mr. Zapata. And
yes,
also,
sir.
Ms. Davis wanted to say something.
Sorry, Ms. Davis.
And, Joy, if you can make sure that she has Mr. Atkins' phone number. And the other thing is with the apartments, could we make sure we do a full inspection on the apartments? And, Ms. Atkins, you might need to go out there on site just set up some type of tour site, and just to make sure for your own safety that those things have been taken care of.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker is Robert Stubblefield. Not present. Casey Thomas. Mr. Thomas will be followed by Sandra Crenshaw, Stella Health, and Herbert Wilborn. Please state your name and address for the record.
All right. Good morning. My name is Casey Thomas II. My address is 7909 Vista Hill Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75249. I serve as the Public Improvement Chair of the Community Development Commission, and on May the 2nd, a memo dated May the 2nd was given to the mayor and members of the council, and there are a couple of points in the memo I would like to read. It says, 2 years since the policy, this policy has been in place. No funds have been awarded based on feedback from the community. It seems that nonprofits that have 50% of their total project costs do not seek CDBG funds. Nonprofits that have the greatest need for CDBG public improvement funds are unable to access the funds because of the 50% cash match requirement. Nonprofits need these funds not only for acquisition or major renovations, but for smaller projects such as energy upgrades, mobility and accessibility improvements for the elderly and disabled. Another portion I would like to read is the recommendation that the commission offered to the council regarding this particular policy. It said HUD rules do not require that grant funds be matched for CDBG public improvement projects. For grants that may require matching funds, none require a 50% cash match, and multiple sources are allowed to meet the match. We propose the following recommendations. One, eliminate the cash match requirement for public improvement projects under $50,000. Reduce the cash match for projects over $50,000 to 10%. Allow other non-cash sources to meet match requirements, such as in-kind donations, pro bono services, and volunteer hours. As I said, as chair of this committee, we had a discussion. This is where it derived from, and I asked that the council would take a real close look at revisiting this policy and taking serious the considerations of the commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Your next speaker, Sandra Crenshaw, not present. Stella Hell.
I'm Stella Heff from Farber's Branch, 14140 Southern Pines Drive. Sorry. And they say timing is everything, even when it's something bad. On May the 19th, I was going south on Harry Hines, and a young man was coming south on Harry Hines. We were all in the same area. And naturally, we had a head-on collision. And I was fortunate enough that your mayor and her brother and his wife were there to see it, plus the people that were in the retail establishments next to it, the taco house and the M&M tire shop. And I just want to express my gratitude for everyone that was there. They were very attentive. Everything that they could do, they did for me. And I just want to thank all of them so very much. And the city of Dallas, your police force, the young men that came, the METs that came, and they were perfect. They were gentlemen. They were helpful. And they took care of me. And I just want the city of Dallas to know what a fine police force you do have. And thank you so much. And if I might say one other thing about the royalty you've had here today, that's an experience that I thoroughly enjoyed. I have two grandsons that have been to Africa, one on a medical mission and one on a educational mission, and a son that works for Buckner International that has been there. And they went for me because mother's too old to go now. But thank you so much, and thank you, Mayor, for your help and the people that were in the area that helped so much, and your police force. Thank you so much.
Ms. Health, thank you very much. It was just a matter of timing that
it was.
My family was traveling and we saw the head-on collision.
That's what I know.
I was with 911 when it actually happened. And
yes.
I was reporting the gentleman that was going the wrong way. But I'm glad that you're fine. Thank
yes.
you very much for coming and recognizing our police and our firefighters.
Oh.
They are number one here in Dallas. I'm glad that you're fine. And also, colleagues, I would like just to announce that Ms. Health was the first woman city council person in Bowie, Texas. So
big deal.
In Bowie, Texas.
Bowie. Up close to Wichita Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She knew that. She just...
That's a biggie in a redneck country, you know? Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for being here. And just want to recognize former council member Ricardo Medrano and his wife, Janie, and they were there, and they helped Ms. Health out of the car. So thank you very much for being here. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker, Herbert Wilborn. Not present. Madam Mayor, that concludes your speakers this morning.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins has an announcement, and then we will proceed with the agenda.
Okay. The first announcement is a great announcement. It's a project we've been working on for the last 3 years at Trinity Forest Gateway, right there off of 20 and down the ferry. So this coming Saturday at 10:30, we're doing a ribbon cutting. Sheffy, we got a horse trail. And we also got a great picture. It's right up on the wall. You see the lake there. It's a walking trail around the lake. You can hike. You can ride your horses. You can barbecue, grill. The pond's going to be stocked with catfish. So it's a family great adventures. Remember today, Saturday, June 8th at 10:30 a.m., that would be the ribbon cutting. So everyone needs to come out. And this is the first public trail that is inside the city of Dallas. We talk about horses and in neighborhoods and horses down the street. They can come to this trail before we get to the Texas Horseport and have a great venture. The second announcement we have on June 11th. Remember this, Angel, June 11th. You got an art district, right? You can come see me conduct the symphony. Daughters of Texas. I did my rehearsal last week and yesterday. So come out,
oh my gosh,
see your council member, conduct the symphony at Paul Quinn College at 8 o'clock next Tuesday. This is the third time the symphony has been at Paul Quinn College. Please come out and see in grade how I do. Angela. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy. We all need to be there. Okay, the next item is approval of the minutes of the May 15, 2013 City Council meeting. Hold on, we've got a correction.
We do have a correction. We need to clarify for the record that the appointments of the three city employees, which were the Assistant City Manager, Chief Financial Officer, and Economic Development Director, were confirmed. The appointments were to the Trinity River Municipal Management District, not the Cypress Waters.
And that was the Assistant City Manager,
the Chief Financial Officer, and the Economic Development Director. Your next item is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have one nominee for your consideration this morning to the Reinvestment Zone 13 Board Grant Park South, Jesus Muchaca Prado, to fill the Dallas County resident category. It's nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano.
So move.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
That concludes your action items this morning, Madam Mayor.
Our first briefing. I believe it's going to be given by Britton Ranowski. If you would approach.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Britton Banoski. I'm commissioner of Conference USA, which is an athletic conference. This is my friend Kern Egan, who runs the sports marketing group at the Richards Group, and we're really pleased to be here. We've both lived in Dallas for a long time, raised our families here, and we're proud of our city and proud of all the things you do. Sheppy, particularly proud of your work, living in your district. I appreciate all you're doing to make our district a great place, so thank you very much. Introduction will be brief, and we understand this is a briefing, so we'll try and be brief. Our presentation, I think, has too many slides in it, and we don't have the clicker, so you're going to have to just move us through as quickly as you can. But I was introduced to the possibility of taking over an event here in Dallas about a year ago and sat with Mike Rawlings. Mike actually suggested I come here today and present, and I noticed he's not here. For the record, he said he texted me from wherever he is, I think, an international text that said, "You'll do great." So that explains, you know, our relationship. But anyway, Mike and I sat down, and it looked like we were going to lose a bowl game here in Dallas. And so we talked about it, and he basically said, you know, if you're willing to take some leadership over it, you have our full support. Let us know what you need, because we'd hate to lose a bowl game because we've invested so much money in the Cotton Bowl. So I got together with my friend Kern about a year ago. Actually, it was more like August. And we thought, could we do this? Could we have a bowl game? And we talked through how we would approach it. And basically, we decided that we would repackage the game and repurpose the game for the benefit of the community of Dallas and align our interests as a nonprofit so that we would conduct this event and then give the proceeds back to the community of Dallas. And in particular, homelessness was the cause that we identified. And we really appreciate the support we're getting from the Parks Department, from Mary Soom, Councilmember Hunt, thank you for your support. And so we're off and running on this this plan to leverage sports and entertainment events in Dallas for the benefit of the Dallas community and using the venues here in Dallas to do that. And we really are about promoting positive social change in our community. And moreover, we're about connecting with the next generation of philanthropers, millennials. And what we want to do is engage millennials in their community and give them a way of giving back. So with that brief introduction, I'm going to pass it over to my friend Kern, and he'll work you through some information that's more detailed. And then we'll be here to answer questions if you have them. If not, we'll let you get on to the rest of your program.
Start with the video.
Game for charity. All the proceeds for this game will go to helping the homeless in the Dallas-Fort Worth areas.
Organizers of this bowl are taking net proceeds from tickets and concessions to agencies that work with Dallas's homeless community.
The Heart of Dallas Charity actually believes that homelessness is not something that you hide from. You actually have to face it to fix it.
We are built to host sports entertainment events to fuel bold social change in our city.
Money raised from the freezing Oklahoma State Purdue fans will help keep people living on the streets a little warmer at night.
We've earmarked $50,000 already for the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance with a commitment to match another $50,000.
Great. So that's just a quick overview of all the experience we had around the bowl game. But I want to give you a little bit of a background on the organization overall, a little more specific about what we accomplished with that bowl game and where we're kind of headed in the future. So as Britton alluded to, Heart of Dallas is an all-volunteer nonprofit that we started about August in 2012 to fuel bold social change in our community. We've kind of gathered an initial group of leaders from the corporate community and the sports and entertainment community to try to rally this community around sports and entertainment events to really get this organization going and get us the program that we need to raise the money that we're looking for to really make a real change here in our city. Our plan is to leverage a consistent calendar of sports and entertainment events and raise money via corporate partnerships and other revenue streams to give all that money back to make Dallas a better place. And we offer sponsorship opportunities to corporations, the same as they would get from any other, you know, local team or national opportunity. But in this case, all the money that they spend is used to make their local city a better place. And we fund these charitable contributions, like I said, through these corporate donations versus traditional, you know, asking for handouts. Our events, we mentioned the bowl game, and that kind of rolls into the next event, which is the Dr. Pepper Dallas Cup. We're really excited that game, or the marquee events, have moved back to the Cotton Bowl. And we have two events that are coming up as well, which is our concert series that we'll be holding in Clyde Warren Park, as well as the Heart of Dallas Classic, which has Army and Louisiana Tech playing at the Cotton Bowl opening weekend of the State Fair of Texas. So to have another football game during the State Fair at the Cotton Bowl is really exciting for us, and we'll give you a few more details on that. But a quick look back at our launch event in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Some key metric is we had record attendance of over 48,000. The Dallas Commissioner Visitors Bureau estimated about a $20 million economic impact for the city. As Britton mentioned, we are a younger organization trying to usher in the next generation of philanthropists. And to that, social media is very important to us. And just after 60 days in operation, we already had the third largest Facebook following of any college bowl game. So really proud of that. But most importantly, we achieved our objective of raising $100,000 to fight homelessness, which helped move 225 individuals and families into permanent housing. And we couldn't have done that without the local support of the sponsors that you see there. We were fortunate to be included in Dallas Morning News' editorial Hits and Misses in the beginning of January. Fortunately, we were a hit. Really, basically, it says that our bowl game was a heartwarming debut for our organization, and we're really excited about that. So to give you a sense for the events that we held around the community related to the bowl game, where we weren't just one day for an event where the schools could come in and go and really wanted to make this something that we could shine a spotlight on the entire community for lots of people, we'll give you a sense for what that schedule was like. We launched the organization October 4th last year with the leadership of Mayor Mike Rawlings and many of you at the Cotton Bowl. We announced our leadership, our mission, and some of our goals. And we had our announcement event at the Omnia Hotel where the teams and the coaches came, and we were able to announce that Oklahoma State and Purdue will be playing, and we had a great event down at the Omni. And then when the schools came, we wanted to show them a good time. How do we show them that Dallas is a unique place and didn't lock them up in their hotel rooms for 3 or 4 days? So we took them to a Mavs game and really showed them a great time at the Mavs game, thanks to our friends there. And then our friends at Panini put on a youth skills clinic at Bishop Lynch High School and brought Tim Brown. We're very fortunate to have the Heisman Trophy winner here from Woodrow Wilson High School that lives here and is ready to give back to the community. And he's very engaged in our organization now, and he was leading the Youth Skills Clinic at Bishop Lynch. We had a community service event. We had over 10,000 meals served at the North Texas Food Bank by the coaches and players of Oklahoma State and Purdue. And we took them to Blue Man Group. We gave them a little culture and got them to see our fantastic arts district, and they really had a great time at the Blue Man Group. And, of course, there are a lot of kids that come in town in terms of the coaches and the families of the staff, and we took them to Jump Street. And we had to take care of the wives of the coaches and the staff, of course, and so we no better way to do that than take them to Neiman's in the Zodiac Room. And then lastly, we think Topgolf is a really neat thing that we have here, and we took the schools to both Allen and to Dallas and had them compete in a pretty unique experience at Topgolf. And then also we had to make sure we took care of and recognized our supporters and our sponsors and many of you, and we had a great experience at the Hickory Street Annex where Robert O'Keefe came and played, and we were able to have a real nice night there to kind of kick off, you know, from a corporate standpoint, what we were trying to do. And from an advertising standpoint, we really tried to make this big for the bowl game, for the city, and for the Cotton Bowl. We had over $1 million in free media thanks to a lot of the partners here locally. The cast of Dallas, which is a very popular TV show these days, recorded a PSA encouraging people to go to the game and to support the North Texas Food Bank. The Dallas Morning News and the Wall Street Journal donated pages. Clear Channel and Lamar gave us a lot of outdoor video boards that we were able to poster around or plaster around town. And a lot of PSAs and a lot of the radio stations locally, so we thank them for their support. And then I mentioned our social media with over 25,000 likes on our Facebook page, over 3,000 followers on our Twitter. Councilmember Angela Hunt, thank you very much for you helping us pump that up. And then our economic and charitable impact, as we mentioned, Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau estimated $20 million in economic impact, which was just great to save that bowl game from where it might have gone away at one point and to make sure we're kind of keeping that economic activity here, you know, locally. And then most importantly, as we mentioned, giving $100,000 to help end homelessness here in Dallas via our partners at the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. Mayor Mike Rawlings has been very supportive in recording PSAs and giving us his support wherever we've needed it, and we appreciate that. And then T. Boone Pickens really stepped up, and he gave us a $25,000 donation to make it possible for every City Dallas employee to attend the game for free. And we were really happy to have his support. I mentioned the North Texas Food Bank and the support of the cast of Dallas and all the meals that we're able to provide for them via the game and the support of the schools that came. But also, we weren't just about homelessness and we weren't just about the North Texas Food Bank. We have a lot of tickets to give away. This will be a common theme throughout our other events where we try to open our arms to as many charities as we can. Uplift Education, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Make-A-Wish, Salvation Army. Down the line, we want to open our arms to other charities and make sure we're welcoming them, giving them tickets, giving them opportunities to engage with us and use our events to shine a spotlight on the good work that they're doing and engage their fans, their people, and let them have a little bit of fun at the same time. Our media coverage, we were led on CBS 11 with Heart of Dallas Bowl, calling a kickoff for a cause. Randy McElwain was great on site at the Heart of Dallas Bowl. The Dallas News, the Heart of Dallas, a homegrown New Year's Day game at the Cotton Bowl for charity, and much, much more. Yahoo covered us, which we thought was great from a national perspective. I mentioned the editorial hits and misses. We were very pleased and appreciative of the coverage. We're thinking that was the bowl game's winner is the City of Dallas, and that's really our mantra and one of our goals, and we hope to continue that. And mention the economic impact as well, and as well as T. Boone Pickens and all the great work that he's done and the national coverage that did shine a spotlight on the charitable efforts of some of the more affluent people in our community, as well as the heart that the mayor has and our city government does to kind of support sports events and try to make it and turn it into something that's really good for our community. There's also some really neat angles as well as some former players, including former OSU player John Corker was homeless at one point, and we were able to bring him, make him a guest of the game, and it was a really neat story and really kind of brought us back to, again, why we're doing this and really get back to our cause, and there's real people that we can impact here via some of the fun things that we do. So that was kind of a recap of the game and where we've been and what we've accomplished. We still have lots to do. So just a couple quick slides on our next two upcoming events. I mentioned the Heart of Dallas Classic. We're really excited to have Louisiana Tech and Army playing September 28th at the Cotton Bowl, the opening weekend of the State Fair of Texas. That's pretty unique and new for that State Fair, and we're really excited to help bring that game and promote that game. Because it's Army and because the Louisiana Tech friends have been so gracious, we have really kind of rallied around this idea of really helping veterans. So the entire purpose and mission of the game is to prop up and raise money for organizations that support veterans and their families. And we are organizing various groups against that goal. And we really feel like there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm and excitement and momentum behind that, especially with a unique opportunity to have West Point come down and play a football game here right in one of our iconic venues. And so we're going to be all hands on deck for the next few months, trying to engage as many military charities as we can and get as much momentum in the city as we can to raise as much money and awareness as we can for all the good work that's being done here and try to make a difference in the lives of veterans and their families. And then lastly, the Heart of Dallas concert series we mentioned. We have some dates reserved in Clyde Warren Park. What a great treasure that we have here locally in our city, and we're very proud of it, and we want to do what we can to not only engage the community in taking part in that great park, but also how do we use that park for good in another way. And so we'll be using those concerts to raise money for charity as well. And we've got some great plans in place, and we're engaged with our sponsors on how we bring the millennials, a lot of those that live downtown and in that area, bring them in using music and using the spirit of camaraderie to shine a spotlight on some unique causes and to raise money at the same time. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Sorry for the length of the presentation. Actually, it was Dan and his team that said, put more slides in, put more slides in. Our instincts are 10 slides or about as many slides as we need. But in closing, I would just like to say we do appreciate the support of the City of Dallas. We're an infant organization. We're only 8 months old. We're all volunteer. Karen and I have day jobs, and so we spend as much time on it as we can. But we think it has a great potential, great upside to do some very cool things for the city. I think we're very close to being able to announce a new six-year bowl deal. So we'll be able to hopefully extend the bowl game in Dallas through 2020, which will be something I think that will be exciting for all of us. And thank you, Carol and Davis, Councilmember Davis. We're in your district there at Fair Park. And so thank you very much for your support as well for the events we put on out there. So with that, I think we'll close and see what questions or comments folks have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Carraway.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. And let me first say a couple of things. One, I support this bowl game, and I support all of what is taking place in Fair Park and the Cotton Bowl. I'm probably one of the lead advocates of making sure that the Cotton Bowl is a vibrant place for activity, football, soccer, and everything that we can. So I want to first thank you all for that, but then, and my comments are not going to be toward you in the bowl more than I think this is the proper time for me to step in and show a comparison so that maybe at the end of my comments we will have a much clearer understanding about where we really need to go with all of the Cotton Bowl and not part of the Cotton Bowl. Okay. One is, where's Mr. Starr?
Tom Starr.
What is his involvement now?
He has no involvement.
Okay.
He basically defaulted on the game and didn't pay his bills, I think, and so he is...
Say it one more time.
I think he didn't pay all his bills around the game, and so the game was going to go away.
Absolutely.
If he still had it, so we took it away.
Yeah, and I understand that. And when I was mayor, and the reason that I asked that, because I was asked to be supportive, and we gave assistance to him. And had not been for that assistance that he had and that he received at the time of asking, then probably I would venture out to say then the Heart of Dallas Bowl would not even be a factor. Is that fair to say? All right, so I just want to say I gave him that assistance so that you all can know that it takes a lot of things, and I'm not trying to put any feathers anywhere. I just want to make sure that we understand where we're going, how we got there, and what it takes collectively for us to be able to get to this point. All right, so we'll leave him alone now. Now, the next thing, with the Richards Group, I appreciate the commitment that you all have. And we're going to make this football game the best football game. I was there, and it was a heck of a beginning. And I think that the enhancements can only get better. But now, what I would like to, I want to know about the homeless. Now, you all said that we had 225 homeless people placed in permanent housing. Do we have a record of where they are? And you don't have to give it to me now, but I would like to see where, who, and where they are today of those. because I'm one now that will be tracking to make sure that certain things that are said are done and carried out. So just, you don't have to worry about it, but I want to keep up with that, okay? I think that's important. Other folks have come to us and have said things that did not happen. So I'm not going to say anything. Don't fall out your chair, Mayor. I'm not going to say anything about, you know, what that is that's in my crow. But certain folks will come and say some things, but I've learned the need to have to track it. So I want to just kind of keep up with it so we can know what we're doing and we can keep going. Another thing, at one point, because we talk about the economic impact, and the economic impact, when you look at what is happening, and it's great, and I applaud the Richards Group. I applaud all of the activities that you have. I have concerns when it comes to the Grambling Prairie View game, for example, and I'm going to use that so that then I'm going to put that olive branch out to suggest that when we're talking Cotton Bowl, then let's talk Cotton Bowl, and let's talk everything that's taking place in the Cotton Bowl. Because the only way that your game is going to grow to the 90,000 seats that we have there is that all of Dallas is included. All of Dallas is excited. And all we want at the end of the day is behinds in seats and butts in beds. And then we're doing what we need to be doing. Okay? So with that, I think that there should be a greater outreach to some of the smaller entities. I was looking at your sheet and looking at all of the nonprofits and the people that's involved, but, you know, I didn't see the certain other smaller organizations within the community. I grew up 5 minutes walking from the Cotton Bowl, and we would go on a Sunday, and we would go sneak under the fence. That's right, Press. We would go sneak under the fence to go see the Cowboys. And then when the Dallas Texans were playing, then the adult could take some of the needy kids into the game for 99 cents. If you had the ticket, we could go in, and we was everybody's children, okay? But the community is where I'm going with this, was a part of the Dallas Cowboys and now the Kansas City Chiefs' success. Because they had people involved, and that's why people love them. I grew up loving them, and can't come to my house that you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's just simple as that. Got to paint it all on my address carrier to Dallas Cowboys. So that's where we are there. I'm gonna wrap up in a minute, Madam Mayor, but let me go on through this. The other thing that I'm looking at the promotion that we have and looking at the outreach. But then I want to say to the city of Dallas, and I want to say to everyone, and I want to preference this as relate to Grambling Prairie View. It is all of the people, all of the press, all of the activities, all of the corporate people. We seem to wrap our arms around Texas OU, the heart of soul, and the new games that are coming. But then we have a hard time trying to find the score of the Grambling Prairie View game. And I want to say that so folks can understand that, you know, when you look at the fact that we have all of the events leading up to, and it's not you guys. You guys are doing a great job. I want to applaud you for that. But I am saying and suggesting to the corporate entities in this city that if we're going to have great attendance, great fun, a profitable Cotton Bowl, and all of the games are excited about everything that's happening, then we, you know, when Texas OU comes to town, then they go to the Lawrence for the, you know, and the Beef Bowl, and you go over here. But when the Grambling game comes to town, we're trying to scramble to get people just to attend the press conference here on the sixth floor. So we would not begging at all. I appreciate what you all are doing, but I guess I'm asking you all to extend your vision, extend your thoughts, to reach out to the other games that can be a complement to what you are trying to do. I'm speaking as a promoter. I'm the promoter that bought the Grambling Prairie View game to the Cotton Bowl when Eddie Robinson was the football coach. That was a game that I created and bought to this city. But at the end of the day, look at what it has done. Because the game is here, because things are happening, Now we have the heart of Seoul, the heart of Dallas. Okay, and but collectively, if we want to really grow, if we really want the Dallas Cotton Bowl to be successful and have successful events in there, then we're going to have to participate, and we need support. And I have to take this down. I'm not admonishing this at all. I'm supporting this. But since you're here with the presentation, I want to use it as an example to show the difference that does exist in this town when it comes to one game versus another game. Okay? There's a lot of help out here for this game. Mr. Pickens put in $25,000. Okay, I guess we got some folks over South Dallas, Oak Cliff, somebody that can put in something. So we're not saying that we should not. But I'm saying that same level of participation so that we can be that $20 million impact as you all are to the city of Dallas. We need some help. And that's what I'm appealing to. Whoever like it, that's okay. Whoever don't like it, it's really okay. I'm going to say it because that's what's on my heart, to make sure that we know that we're not going to sit here and be begging the press and begging for support. But if indeed, then lastly, and as I close, we were going to do two football games. We wanted to do two football games. And Daniel, I want you all to know that I was told when we attempted to do a football game in the Cotton Bowl on the first week of Labor Day and all these different things, we were told that we couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. We were told that we could not do a game prior to Grambling and Prairie View, that it was in the contract that another football game could not come. That's unfair. I'm not throwing the association under the bus, but you all just announced something that we've been told that could not happen is the reason that we've not seeked trying to make it happen. But now we're going to have a great football game. I'll be there, LSU and Army. I'll be right in the stands. But again, I must show the disparity and what was said to us and what was denied us to be able to do a Labor Day Classic and another African-American-type football game prior to the fair. Okay? So I just want to put that out on the record, and it's been said. I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to do it. But if I don't say it, we'll never know that it's a problem, and we will. And without knowing it's a problem, we won't know what's needed to be corrected. So with that, now, we're going to have a good football game. I'm going to be supportive. We're going to be right out there. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I think the promotion of this deal is great. If there's anything else that we need to do to make it greater, I'm on the bandwagon to be there and to lead the charge so that we can make the Heart of Dallas Bowl a success, the LSU Army game a success, Texas OU a success, Grambling Prairie View a success. The Cotton Bowl needs to be more active, and we need to find some more games. Anything else that you all want to do as promoters, I want you to know, from what I've seen as a promoter, you all are on the right track. I can support this type of vision and commitment that you all have on behalf of the city of Dallas and the Cotton Bowl. All right, I'm through now. thank you all for enduring. And again, not you all under the bus, just using the examples so that we can show.
I mean, just for the record, we're happy to help the city of Dallas any way we can. We live here, and we want it to be a great place. And so any ideas for us are good ideas. We'll work on them together.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much, Madam Mayor. First of all, let me say to the Heart of Dallas, are you guys a nonprofit?
We are.
Okay. This is the first I've heard of the briefing, and I wish you guys would have gotten to me before the briefing, but that is okay. You recognize the district, and I'm glad that you did that. A couple of things. Looking at the video that was given to us, I have to somewhat agree with Ms. Carraway. We have another football game in the Cotton Bowl, and it is the State Fair Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there for a number of years with Al. Can y'all meet with Mr. Wash?
I mean, we'd love to do that. We don't know anything about it, but we'd love to do it.
I'm going to set up a meeting with you guys and Al Wash.
Great.
And before you leave, I'm going to meet you out in outside, and okay. then we'll set up the meeting.
Terrific.
And Al will be, I mean, he's awesome, and you guys are awesome. And so with both minds coming together, we might can really do something uh-huh. unique.
We'll help him any way we can.
Okay. That's number one. Then you got the Richardson Group, and I want to talk to you offline about adding some other individuals. Sure. There is a marketing firm right in South Dallas. Mm-hmm. That does a lot of work around the country. Y'all didn't know that. And so perhaps we can look at that. And I want to say this is good. I think you guys are doing what you have to do to make Dallas a great city. And I want to compliment you working with the mayor and to try to make some things happen. Are you guys asking any money from the city, or is this just a presentation?
Just a presentation.
Okay. And so you guys go out directly and raise your own money?
Pretty much. I mean, I think there was a funding agreement put in place a year or so ago, but we raise our own money and we stage the game, and we're all volunteers. There's no employees of the nonprofit.
Okay.
We just have a team of volunteers that try and stage the game in a first class way.
Okay. And when you said there was some funding, can you come forward, please? He had mentioned there was some funding put in place. What was the funding put in place for?
There's a $400,000 game stipend to be split amongst the two teams playing.
Okay.
Or to go towards the bowl expenses.
And those two teams are who? Who are the teams are?
It was Oklahoma State against Purdue last year.
Okay.
And then going forward, it'll be different teams.
Okay.
Big 10, Big 12.
Okay. And so these games, I think that's what Mr. Carraway is talking about, the disparity. And if we don't talk about the disparity, nobody will ever talk about the disparity. When you have someone like an Al Wash who comes to the table, this type of disparity is quite different. But we're going to talk and we're going to make it work. You talked about on page 35 some of the charitable organizations that you have here. You have Cornerstone Baptist Church. You have St. Philip. In the neighborhood, you have all-girls school. There's a number of nonprofit organizations in that neighborhood, if you would like, since you guys are kind of working this out of your own pocket and stuff. Just some ideas.
To be clear, we'd like to open up the event. We have plenty of seats in the game. We'd like to open up the event to as many engaging nonprofits as we can find that would want to come and activate around the game, have a great day, in Fair Park.
Okay.
So we just go down the list of the people we know and do the best we can
engaging. I know.
Give us ideas.
Okay.
This wasn't an inclusive lesson.
I understand. I do understand. And then on your radio on page 26, and you guys did the presentation, and you've asked, we have some ideas, help, and that's what we're doing. And on page 26, you have your radio media. I know that you have a lot of different ones, but I would like to just give you two or three other ones that perhaps you can include on your list that I think that can help promote the game as well. But I just want to say to you, thank you for the wonderful presentation, and I'm going to meet you guys out here. Okay? Thank you.
Ms.
Davis, thank you. Mr. Cadet.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Britton, in turn, thank you for an excellent report. And I like the pictures. The more the better. I think they were good. You're calling the bowl game Heart of Dallas, is that what you're calling it? Wasn't it called the Dallas Classic before? I mean, what was it called?
It was actually called the Ticket City Bowl.
Oh, okay.
There was a title sponsor.
I couldn't think what it was called.
A company from Austin was the title sponsor, and we elected not to sell a title sponsor because we didn't want to put a company in front of Dallas.
Yeah, well, that's good. So it'll be called Heart of Dallas Classic now. Is that right? Will it be called?
It'll be the Heart of Dallas Bowl. That's the name of the bowl game, and then the game in the state fair, Louisiana Tech Army, will be called the Heart of Dallas Classic.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you, thank you so much for getting us another game during the fair. I think that's great. How did you choose the teams?
I looked at the schedules of the teams that were playing, and I saw that Louisiana Tech had a home game against Army. And so I called the Louisiana Tech people and asked them if they'd be willing to move that home game to Dallas.
Oh, wow.
And then I called the Army people, who were delighted to not have to go to Reston, Louisiana.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. Well, I think it's excellent. I think it'll be a great game, too. And did you say when you first started that you would have 17 events? How many events did you say?
We really don't have a limit on the number of events, and it's going to be an ongoing calendar. We'll have, if it makes sense to do a concert, we'll do a concert. If it makes sense to do a football game, we'll do a football game, maybe a basketball tournament. We have a soccer tournament. The bottom line for all of them is if they don't make money, then we won't have money to give back to the community. So we just put a P&L together against each event, and if we can cash flow the event, then that means we'll make some money and put it back in the community.
So do you have several already lined up?
We have a concert series in Clyde Warren Park in September. We have the game in September 28th, the Louisiana Tech game. We have the bowl game January 1st. Then we have a calendar that's going to repeat a lot of that the following year, and then we'll just kind of layer more events in that make sense. Our hope really is that as we expand our social media following and connect with all these young people in Dallas, these millennials, that Kern and I can kind of hand the organization over to them, and we can go back to our regular jobs, and then who knows what kind of events they'll create, but I'm sure they'll be great ones, and if they stay true to our mission, then we'll be very happy.
I think that's great, and what I was getting at is I for one would like to have a list of your events and or when they come about to know what you guys are working on. Possibly the rest of the council would like that also, just to see where you're at and what is going on. We may even have some suggestions for you for more events.
Perfect.
So, but I appreciate your report and your briefing, and I think this is fantastic. I think you all are heading in the right direction. Appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadet. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and Britton and Kern, thank you so much for coming and presenting this to us. This is an amazing organization. I've never heard of an organization like this. It's an incredibly creative way to raise money for very important nonprofits here in Dallas. So thank you for all of the time that you guys put in. You have day jobs. And Britton, I was wondering, for those of us who aren't familiar with your work, could you kind of give us a little insight into your day job?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a commissioner of Athletic Conference, Conference USA. We work with universities across the United States. We have 12 universities right now. Some of you may follow sports. We lose them and then we gain them. So we're losing some and then we're gaining some. So next year we'll have 16 universities that go from the East Coast all the way to El Paso with UTEP. We help them stage their games. We contract for bowl games. We have television agreements. When a coach cusses out an official, we suspend them. You know, so those are the types of things that we do. We run college athletics, basically, and then I have 10 other associates that are commissioners of conferences that I work with on major policy issues affecting intercollegiate athletics.
Thank you. I just wanted everyone to be familiar with your experience in kind of the football arena. I think the connections you built there and the knowledge and experience you have there really pays off with the Heart of Dallas. It really makes a big difference there in that you're able to organize it and reach out to the people that you know within the field. Lastly, can you talk with us about what we as a city council can do to help you, either collectively or individually? Because I know you're not here asking for any money. You're actually giving money to all these terrific charities. You guys are all volunteer. You don't have an executive director pulling in a salary. So what can we do to help you make Heart of Dallas a success?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You're doing it right now by making it easy for us to access the Cotton Bowl for events, for supporting us as we put on events in the Cotton Bowl and other venues around Dallas. You know, your symbolic support means more than you know. So as a group, collectively, for you to just say, as we heard over here, we like what you're doing, keep doing it. I mean, that's very helpful to us because we can send that message back. And then individually, you can help us nurture this nonprofit. It's named for Dallas because it should be owned by Dallas. It's not owned by individuals. It should be kind of an organic, developing nonprofit that can do wonderful things in your districts. So you can help us by identifying the important causes that you have in your district that need attention. We can certainly engage there and bring those folks into what we're trying to do and communicate. You can certainly help us by opening doors for us if we have corporate citizens that you know that you think might want to connect with us and be a part of what we're doing. All of those things are very important to us. At the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is bring the corporate community in around these events, bring the charitable community in around these events, and then kind of celebrate all at one time Dallas around the things we love, which is sports and entertainment. So we look forward to working with you as a collective body, but also working with you individually to achieve our goals. And again, we're 8 months into this, so we have no idea where we'll be a year from now. We're just beginning to develop long-term plans. but maybe 10 years from now, as we look back, we can say this is something that was really cool, and we'll look back to this day when we briefed you and say that was kind of the start of something great.
I just think it's amazing that you guys were able to organize a bowl game in like 4 months, you know, 5 months from last August to January. That was incredible. And it came out, it was so polished, you know, my husband and I went to it, and it was so well done, and you really pulled it off and made a big difference for our city. So thank you for everything that you guys are doing. We're deeply appreciative that we have you here and that you came up with this brilliant idea to give back to our city. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, you talk about the Cotton Bowl, and you talk about the venue, you talk about promotion, and I'm glad that you are stepping forward to do most of the promotion, but I'm kind of saddened about the city of Dallas, how we drag along. We kind of drag our feet and try to promote the Cotton Bowl. Daniel, would you come up for a second, please? And, you know, for many years, I've been living in this city, and I'm a former football agent, and I know football in and out. You know, we talk about the Cotton Bowl. Right now, we have, three games at the Cotton Bowl now? Three games?
Yes, sir, during state fair time.
Okay, and what's the three games so far?
It's Texas OU, Grambling, Prairie View, and then Louisiana Tech.
So we got another open date to have another game at the Cotton Bowl,
is correct? The last weekend is open, yes, sir.
And and also January, the New Year's Day, we got to open, right?
No, this is the bowl game.
This is the bowl game.
The Dallas Bowl.
This is
the
bowl
game.
January
1, yes, sir.
January 1. Now, during the summertime, you know, during the Cinco de Mayo, you know, or during the 4th of July, the Cotton Bowl is not used. We're talking about soccer. I mean, we're not using that. You know, when Vonce and I went to South Africa back in 2008, we said, hey, you know, what about, you know, the World Cup? So, Mary, what I'm doing, I'm going to challenge, and also Carolyn Davis, this is your district in the Cotton Bowl. We should be more a promoter from the city of Dallas because we own the Cotton Bowl. And I love the nonprofit come to my rescue, but, I mean, it's showing we're doing a bad job. I mean, we got assets, we don't have to promote our own asset. And that's kind of shame on the city of Dallas for not promoting our asset. I know we went through a big fight around here to get $25 million to put in the Cotton Bowl, you know, to make sure the bathroom, everything flushed right, just make sure the infrastructure. So, Mary, you know, is there anything that inside the city of Dallas or the park department that what are they doing? I mean, what is the mechanism? How are they? How we are promoting the Cotton Bowl? Why cannot we make those telephone calls to Notre Dame or to Purdue or whatever? Why are we not doing that?
A lot of that, sir, is if you look back at the history of the stadium and all the improvements, roughly about 5 of the 6 years we've been under some sort of construction, either removing of the aluminum seating and then putting it back in, the scoreboard, the ramp. We have the stadium is under renovations now, so we don't have use of the concourses or the press box. Everything's been gutted. And so we've been trying to do some events in there as we can. In fact, last night there was about 30 of us there in the stadium positioning people around the stadium trying to see if we can still use it for the July 4th fireworks, and if we can, which areas are still going to be visible. And so that's going to be a challenge for us because we've got to move people in through the ramps because we don't have access to the concourses. And so we're trying to program it as much as possible. We did actually have to turn down six soccer games this year because of construction. So hopefully after the
– Okay, so the question that if we trying to grow revenue and we turn down gain and turn down money, I mean – is there any reason why this council has not been informed that we have, you know, those type of problems at the Cotton Bowl, that we need to speed it up, we need to do something different? And that's when I come to the point. We have a great asset. And if we don't know what's going on at the Cotton Bowl, how can we help to promote the Cotton Bowl? I mean, we can do all the nonprofits come in and say, hey, we can do this, we can do this. But I'm still going back to July. The 4th of July, we almost lost the fireworks, and we had to go outside and bring that in. And we got all these people come to the Cotton Bowl, and we could have entertainment to get some more revenue to take that revenue to put back into the Cotton Bowl. The football game is great, but the Fairport opened 24/7, you know, 306 days a week. But what are we doing? I mean, what do we need to do to make sure we get more revenue from the State Fair? I mean, to me, we're not promoting the State Fair or promoting the Cotton Bowl the right way. I don't know. We need to set up some other entity to make sure, Carolyn, that we're promoting the fair part, make sure we're getting the right infrastructure there, make sure we're doing the capital improvement there in order to be able to call. I don't think that we should have to wait on a nonprofit to make those phone calls to someone come in. We the city, I think we can make the phone call better than a nonprofit and say, hey, we own this and we can do a better deal, a partnership with a nonprofit to go along with them to make a deal. I mean, it's something that we're missing. I mean, Carolyn, you know, like I said, you know, that's a prior part. I think that's something that we need to show how we do partnership to make sure we, as a city, at a part, is part of the initiation to bring stuff there. And there is that a financial cost to that, then we need to bring that back to us and say, how do we do that?
Right.
Yes, sir.
And Carolyn, you want to address that a little bit, please?
This is what I really think that needs to happen. I have talked to the mayor about Fair Park. We had a discussion, and one of the things that the mayor continues to talk about the fair is the lack of marketing for Fair Park.
She asked a question. And, you answered my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one of the things he talked about to now is the lack of marketing for Fair Park. And I just think that the mayor's not here, and I don't want to get into
right.
a whole lot of detail because he's not here to talk about his thought with Fair Park. But I do believe that we are going to have to sit down now or later to talk about what do we really want to take Fair Park. And I just think we're missing some things at Fair Park. And so I just think there just has to be a discussion, short-term, long-term, on what we want to take Fair Park. And let me say this, and not to – the Heart of Dallas, I think it's something – we're not paying for them for their service. This is something that I think they want to do. They, from my understanding, y'all brought it to the mayor. This is something they wanted to do. I think from when the mayor talked to me a little about it, he didn't go into a whole lot of detail. He wanted to give them an opportunity to see what they could do and what they could bring to Fair Park. But you're absolutely right, Tanea. I mean, and I was telling Mr. Caraway a few minutes ago, I said, well, Mr. Caraway, all they did was pick up the phone and call some people, and they're here. Is it that easy? So we're missing something, and I just and I don't want to put it out there right now. I just think we need to perhaps have an executive session or something to talk about what do we really need to take.
And I agree. And Daniel, I'm just putting it out there. Number one, you know, the fire part is an asset to the city of Dallas. Over $200-some million economic impact to the city of Dallas, and we know that. You know, so therefore, I just hope that you reach out, your department, reach out to all the council members to brief us and say, what can we do to make sure the fire part is a revenue-generated economic opportunity? You know, I dream there should be a hotel right at the fire part, right at the gateway. I mean, you look at the Dallas Symphony, you know, you look at all the people who go there, they need places to stay. You got dark there. There's a whole lot of things that we could do that we is not doing our job, and we don't know how to do our job if you don't come to us and ask for our help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Gentlemen, I just wanted to ask if you would do us a favor and send a letter and state what is it that is needed from the organization to be able to provide from the nonprofit organizations that we can provide to you to be able to be included, and I appreciate it. If you can just share that, you don't have to answer.
Okay, if someone could give us a list of the, I guess I can get on the website. I can get it from the website. We'll get your addresses, and we'll do that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, you promise.
Okay.
1 minute?
Yep, I'll make it 1 minute. I'll just follow up on Mr. Atkins. First of all, thank you guys. Perfect. On the one. You got it. Mr. Atkins and Daniel, what we even though the Cotton Bowl may have been under renovation, and in which affect all of the revenue from concessions to everything else at the Cotton Bowl, I do understand that. But as you were talking, Deputy Mayor, about picking up the telephone, we're in competition with Jerry Jones. I want y'all to know that. Let's just be real clear and let's understand. That's Arlington, Texas. That is not Dallas, Texas. That's Arlington, Texas. We're in competition with Grand Prairie, with Nokia, Verizon. That is not Dallas. That is Grand Prairie. And we're in competition with where the Frisco Stadium is and the Mesquite Rodeo is. That's Mesquite and that's Frisco. We're in competition with them. And so we need to be able to pick up the doggone telephones. And it's been demonstrated here today that, you know, if you get out there and you put a field out there, you just might get a bite. And you guys got a bite. And I hope you get many more bites. And we're going to really be behind you and support you. But we have in the Fair Park alone, when is the last time we had an activity in the band shell? When is the last time we had an activity in the Coliseum? When is the last time we've had activities in other facilities that we have under our control? And Jerry Jones, if they pick up the telephone, doggone it, they get tractor pulls, they get all types of activities, boxing matches. They're just doing some of everything. So they're reaching out where we're not reaching out. So I just want to say that to you, Councilman Atkins, that I do feel that we do need to have a discussion to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do to take advantage of our facilities that we own instead of letting them sit there and decay. We wouldn't have these problems with the toilets at the Cotton Bowl if the toilets were being flushed. And the only way you have toilets being flushed is that you got people using the Cotton Bowl and flushing the toilets. That's straight up. That's what it is. At the end of the day, that is the reality. So until we begin to utilize our facilities and we use them to the full extent that we have, like Jerry Jones is using that Cowboy Stadium. He has something going on there. If it's nothing but a daily tour, he has people going in that doggone stadium. Now, I'm through with that, but I want you all to know that I think we need to ranch it up a little bit, pick up the telephones, and let's get some activities going there and not let just folks come in who we appreciate you all, come in nonprofit, and show us that all you got to do is pick up the phone and do some things and get some activities going. I'm through with that. I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Very much. Anyone else? Kern and Britton, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
You know, all the support that you've, you know, received from, you know, the cast of Dallas and of course, you know, council members that, you know, help you. We're grateful. We're a grateful city council for what you've done, especially for the people that have, they have faces, they have names, and because of what you did, you've done, it has helped them. And, you know, when you help them, you actually help the whole city of council and city of Dallas. So we are a very grateful city council for that. Thank you.
Thank you for your support, and we look forward to working with you going forward. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, colleagues, we've got one more briefing. We've got the proposed FY 2013-14 plan budget update. After that, we will have our open mic speakers, and then we'll go into executive session. And we do have a press conference for Pride Month at noon today at the Flag Room. So thank you very much.
Hi. Shan Williams from the Office of Financial Services. I am here to just to provide an update on our 2013-14 consolidated plan budget. The budget was originally briefed on May 15th with preliminary adoption on May 22nd. Then on May 28th, we received final updated numbers from HUD on the grant. Slide 5, you will see where the original estimates for the 13-14 budget, the actual grant amounts that came in, and the variance there. As you will see, most of the grants were decreased, except for the HOPWA grant had a slight increase. After receiving the final numbers from HUD, additional recommendations had to be made to decrease or increase the budget to accommodate the actual numbers. So the city manager revised her recommendations. We met again with the CDC on May the 30th. They reviewed the revisions, and no additional changes were recommended. So following today's briefing, changes are detailed on your attached schedule there. Following today's meeting, there will be a public hearing on June the 12th before council. We would like, if you guys have any amendments that you would like to make to this budget, we ask that they be presented to the city manager by the end of next week. We will be sending out reminders, straw votes, discussion of any amendments that we receive and straw votes are scheduled for the 19th with final adoption on the 26th. That is my brief presentation, and if there are any questions, we'd be glad to answer those.
Ms. Davis?
My commissioner came down and spoke about the funding a few minutes ago on providing, helping nonprofits with they need building, to build an existing building or an update on the building. Have that money been spent or have that money been given to any nonprofits so far at this point?
No, ma'am.
And what's causing that problem?
We've had, my understanding is, we've had some RFPs presented to the community. We have not had a lot of responses. It does seem that the 50% match has been a barrier, a challenge for some of the agencies that would have liked to have accessed those dollars.
So we need to go back and look at the 50%, which they cannot meet, is what you're saying.
That is the recommendation from the commission, ma'am.
Okay. But we can make the final change.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so
council, it was an adopted policy from council, and you guys can.
So, but they cannot meet the 50%. Some of those nonprofit organizations.
That is my understanding. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so, what we need to perhaps do is to go back and look at the. Can you get all the council members a copy of that 50%? That we talked about, that we approved, I guess it's a couple of years ago, because what's happening, those organizations who are applying cannot meet the requirement of the 50%. They can meet everything else, but it's the 50% that's holding a lot of those nonprofits back that cannot apply for the money.
Yes.
Okay. If you can give us a copy of that once again.
Yes, ma'am. That was a council resolution from 2010, and we will get that distributed.
Okay, I understand. But That money's been sitting there since 2010, just sitting there, and now no one have been able to maintain that money.
Ms. Davis, the money's been spent on other things. It's not been sitting there. It was it's available to people if they want to request
but
it, but nobody qualifies.
But they can't.
Yes,
they
ma'am,
can't
I know. I just didn't want anybody to think we had it squirreled away somewhere. It's been spent on other projects for CDBG.
But I understand, but we made this, myself, Ms. Caraway, Tanel, and others, so those nonprofits who needed some help
sure.
on their building, but they have not been able to meet the 50%, which I knew then was going to be high for most of them to meet. So we just need to just go back and perhaps take a look at it and see if we need to tweak it a little. And
okay, that's fine.
And because of that, and the money have been spent in other places, but let me have a copy of it. Any other colleagues who want a copy of it?
We'll get that to you.
Okay. Let me ask the other thing. On the how many people are applying for other budget items with CDBG? Do we still get a lot of the nonprofits who come down who need money for their projects or programs?
We do have some.
Some?
Not a whole lot because the grants have consistently been cut.
Okay, how many, when you said some, how many nonprofits do we have now participating and asking for funding? Because back in the day, those funding were used to really help, CDBG funding was used to help nonprofit organizations to do a lot of things. And because how much have the funding been cut at this point?
The past 2 years was about 25% total,
mm-hmm.
and then this additional 1.5 represents about another 8% overall for the city.
Okay, so I'm trying to because I was looking. Where do we have? Well, how much are we having? How much are we recommending this year for funding? For funding.
It's
slide five.
Yeah, show slide five. They reduced funding a little further this year too.
So the actual about this year is 13.9.
Okay, and of the 13.9, some of it's going to home. Is that some of it home fund?
No, 13.9 is the CDBG only.
Only?
Uh-huh. You can see the home is 4.2, and ESG is 1 million, and then HOPWA is 4.4.
The CDBG, where's that breakdown of what's going to be spent to match that 13?
That would be an attachment A.
Can you show me attachment A, please? I'm having problems with my computer.
I don't know how well we're going to be able to see it from
okay.
there.
Okay. So from of the 13, what are some of the nonprofits who are getting money out of that 13?
The housing department would be, could you come help me? I do know that community dental care is one of the nonprofits that provides the dental, but some of the child care services program.
How much are they getting?
That's $100,000.
Okay.
Ms. Davis, let us get you a list for the end of the day. That way we'd be sure we got all of them for you. Would that work?
No, I want it for the record. Who are some of the other ones now?
I'm afraid we're going to miss some because she's not the only one that's got a list.
Remember, she just said it was a few of them, so it wasn't a lot of them at this point. Am I right? How many for its numbers?
When I said a few, I thought you were meaning those that were coming requesting new money through the CDC.
How many? I guess what I'm asking, how many people out of that of the nonprofit organization, is it 15, is it 20, is it 30, how many are receiving CDBG funding?
Guys, you need to go look and get the right answer.
Yes.
Can we do that, Ms. Davis? Because I don't want to give you a wrong answer.
Okay. Okay, Mary. See, what I want to know, how many people are receiving, and see, I guess what we need is to break down. How many people are receiving of a nonprofit, since this money has been cut in half, what I would like to see is the breakdown of the 13.9 million to see what the money has been allocated to, and the money that the 50% that people are not applying for because they can't meet the threshold, did we take that money and reallocate it to something else? Did we, Mary? Okay.
We'll get you the list, and I'll go over it with you, Ms. Davis, and then you can talk about it if you need to. We've got another hearing come when you give in our amendments, and so you can go over that in public there, too.
Then. So. Thank you.
Thanks, Shan. I think we got...
Thank you. Mr. Kadeem.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I just had, and I think Ms. Davis brought it up. She asked a bunch of questions. I was just wondering how you estimate... for your budget, your grants, but what I'm hearing you say is we should know what those grants are when you estimate that. Is that correct? Do we not know what the grants are?
We receive final numbers from HUD on the 28th of May.
So we estimate before we get the final
numbers? Well, not normally, but the federal budgeting has been a bit of a challenge the last few years, and so sometimes the numbers that they're going to give us are delayed, and so that's been the case this year.
And they actually change them.
Yeah, they reduced them this time. Yes, they reduced them this time.
And so that makes us a $1.6 million off budget, right?
Yes, sir, but we've fixed that. We resolved that.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Ms. Alonzo?
I just wanted to thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry. I just wanted to follow up with Ms. Davis's request because she indicated that she wanted if you would provide us a copy of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to add, I know that Mr. Casey mentioned some recommendations from the commission. So if you would please provide us a copy of the policy and the recommendations and then the process, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I guess what I'm saying is that when we get these type of presentation, Mayor, in the near future, I think as a council member, we should be able to ask these type of questions, and it's okay at the end of the day to ask these type of questions. What I don't want it to appear is let us vote and move forward, because it might be some other nonprofits that perhaps we've missed, and I'm not saying that they're going to apply for any of this funding, but at least we can call those nonprofits in any of our districts to say, have you tried, or have you gone in to try to apply for CDBG funding? I'm not saying they're going to get the money, but at least give them an opportunity. And so the one with the 50% threshold, if it's not working, then we need to figure out what's causing the problem so we can fix it. Because there are plenty of needs in our city for these nonprofits to be able to generate some of this funds. So for us to sit there and not to do anything with to help them, I just think it's just a disgrace. So we really need to make sure we're working on these things to help some of those nonprofits and all of our districts.
Well, and we are. And the thing that distresses us most is the federal government continues to cut this. And then you have to balance that, and that's hard. So I understand your concerns.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Good points. Just want to remind that we do have a public hearing before the council on June the 12th. So if we can get that information to them prior to that, and Mary, you're going to go over with Ms. Davis, so we will then be prepared for the public hearing on the 12th. Madam Secretary, we are ready for the open mic speakers. And colleagues, then we will have our executive session directly after our speakers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're going to begin your afternoon speakers with Thomas Collins, Frank Ward, William Hopkins, Azumba Lunks, Robert Ciccarelli, Trina Trish, and LaCoya London. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer. and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during the session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on both walls. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments to Mayor Medrano. Again, your first speaker is Thomas Collins. Not present. Frank Ward. Not present. William Hopkins. Not present. Ozumba Lunks. Not present. Robert Ceccarelli. Mr. Ceccarelli will be followed by Trina Trish and Lakoya London.
Robert Ceccarelli, 2218 Norwood Drive. My topic is, the mayor's not here, but I need to make the speech anyway. It's about Mike Miles and the mayor. Today's speech is going to be about what Mike Miles is not saying to the public, which should be very concerning. First are the ACT and SAT scores in Colorado. I've been to every open mic session. Mike Miles has never talked about what he did in Colorado with the ACT scores. All he's done is rip DISD apart with the high schools and how poor they're doing. I really find it flabbergasted that the mayor would support Miles, in which he has no background in what he's doing. He has no evidence at all about the ACT scores in this district. Also, about the mayor, which is very, very flabbergasting and very, very surprising. Mike Miles left 4 years early in 2012. He had Destination 2016. How can the mayor support somebody that left 4 years early before his contract is ended? Remember when the last mayor left here? I'm sure a lot of you felt kind of down. I don't know, but I'm sure a lot of family members in Colorado felt the same way. And the mayor has got to stop this. It's political reasons, because I found out that Mike Miles was a Democratic candidate for Senate. You cannot mix education with politics. It's a no-win situation. Also, one thing I found out in today's Internet, the school population of high schools in Mike Miles' district fell 26%. 9th grade, 16, 10th grade, 22, 11th grade, 22, 12th grade, 32%. That means in about 2 to 3 years, if this happens, Madison High School will be closed. They only got 350 students. If that happens, God forbid, what's going on in Madison High School? If they lose that school because of Mike Miles, all hell is going to break loose, I think. All right? Also, what needs to be done is that his test scores are very, very suspicious. The CSAP test scores, the state went up 32%. In his district, it went up 85%, which means it's a red-black eye. There's a lot of cheating going on in Colorado because of what is going on in D.C. and Atlanta, where the test scores have gone up so high compared to the state. It's very, very suspicious. Also, one more thing, Woodrow Wilson High School. Whoever is in the district of Woodrow Wilson, 4% of the blacks at ACT are college-ready. 42% of the whites at Woodrow Wilson are college-ready. That was written by Jim Schultz. According to Mike Miles and the mayor, there's conspiracy with the blacks because he's talking about effective teachers. The blacks are getting effective teachers, and the whites are getting the great teachers. Please look into this very carefully, because I'm encouraging every district member, city council member, to run against Mike Rollins because he's
thrown
in the side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Trina Trish.
Good afternoon, Trina Trish, Dallas City. Let me say this has been a very interesting briefing. I come to you first to speak about health, and let me say shout out to Souls Church. That is a church that ministers to the homeless every Sunday under the open sky. Whether it's raining, snowing, it really doesn't matter. They provide food, they provide clothing, they provide haircuts, and they are out there consistently. This Sunday I went over there and I got my back cracked. They had a chiropractor there. And the nervous system and the brain all work together. It helps you think clearly and all. People do not understand. Shout out to Mike. Thanks, Mike. I may be back Sunday. But people do not understand the importance of getting chiropractic work and what it means to the joints, especially to your back and all. So let me give that out. Children's Hospital, happy 100th anniversary. My sister-in-law in Houston is a OBGYN, and so I do believe in the health of children. As a matter of fact, when you would not let me speak, when Ursuline was speaking on the soccer field, that is the issue I wanted to bring up, children's obesity and different things like that, and how sports is a great promoter of releasing children from childhood diseases and to promote health in a more responsible way as opposed to giving them drugs. And I'll get to me not speaking in a minute. The other thing is, and right quick, the Hearts Park or whatever, grass is free, trees is free. That's a beautiful park. If you walk, you'll create a path and all of that. And I do mention that in my newsletter, $10 million plus. That's too much money for a horse park. And finally, lawsuits. I hope you are aware that July 2nd, the court is scheduled for us to go to the $25,000 lawsuit that I have against you all for violating my rights to speak on consent agenda items that I will win. I've already won in practice. I don't know how much of it you are aware of, but nevertheless, there is a 3-minute time limit even for the council to speak. What I do see from today's activities is you all are unaware of even how long you have to speak. I'm sure that we'll see a demonstration of a difference of how you handle council meetings from now on, and I thank everyone for what has transpired this day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Trish.
Your final speaker today is LaKoya London.
Hello, LaKoya London, 1753 Mockingbird. I'm glad y'all put them cell phones up because that's crazy. I see y'all all the time with these cell phones out. I mean, it's all about y'all paying attention. I'm glad he walked out with his cell phone. He on the phone while people talking to Neil Atkins. That's crazy. Well, anyway, the point is, I'm here for Kyla London. I want justice for Kyla London. I want that tape from DISD. You know, Detective Green is his name. He has this tape with her being handcuffed, dragged down the hallway. I want the tape, you know. And, yeah, I want to give it to CNN. Yes, I do. I already made, you know, arrangements for them to get it. So they can hide this tape. They can do whatever because I had CPS to watch this tape with me. That was the point of me getting the state involved. The state is already involved with this tape. I need them to give me the tape and quit saying that, hey, we're still investigating, because they're not investigating anything. Everybody that they're investigating is still at work. You know, I went to school with my daughter for a whole month, sat in the classroom with her for a whole month, and I watched a lot of stuff. You know, and there's another kid that got his arm broke. Do you know the baby done died? And I don't know if he committed suicide. I don't know what he did. I don't care what he did. But T.J. Russ had something to do with it. And I'm sick of y'all letting these schools do whatever they want to do to these kids. Y'all talking about a horse park and talking about the Cotton Bowl. Forget that. Worry about these kids. Educate them. Because if you don't educate them, they're going to be with them boys in blue in jail. You know what I mean? They're going to go to jail if you don't educate them, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's what I was told a long time ago. I was told about American Dream, too. I mean, y'all not even telling the kids about American Dream no more. Where is it? You know? They need to know about the American Dream and what they can get. I had to transfer my daughter out, Ms. Hill. You know, I see you on your phone, but I had to transfer my daughter out on a safety transfer because they didn't want me in the building no more. They said, if you come in my building, I'm going to put a criminal trespass on you. That's what Dr. Rowe, a Ku Klux Klansman with T.J. Russ, told me. He's a Ku Klux Klansman because he broke a kid's hand and another kid's arm. And that's what the Ku Klux Klan did. They break people into pieces. They lynch people. They burnt them up. They put them on trees and hung them. They doing it in another fashion, man. They hurting these kids. You ain't going to hurt my kid and think that that's it. Because I'm going to have a rally in this city real, real soon. I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do. And I'm going to lead it. You're not going to hurt these kids no more, especially mine. My kids should not get her hand broke for walking out of class. Are you serious? I done seen them beat up a whole lot of kids, too. You know, Mr. Caraway, you know, I don't know who over the Carter District. Y'all heard of the DF Dove gang? What about stuff like that? Do something about the gangs that we got, you know, and quit injuring our kids. You know, our kids deserve an education because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I hope y'all know
that. Thank you very much.
That concludes your speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. It is 11:11 a.m., June the 5th, 2013. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to discuss the following matter described on today's agenda: personnel issues involving the city manager. Estimated time, 30 minutes. And I do want to remind you, we do have a press conference at noon. Please clear the room. Okay, then it's 1:12 and the meeting, the council, city council briefing is now adjourned. Okay. No, that's okay. No, what? Let me just say, it is 1:12. We're now out of executive committee meeting. It's executive session and is now 1:12 and the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.